Well, today we're taking on a new subject. Is that okay? How to grow a spirit. How do you grow a spirit? Are you a spirit? Spirit in a body, right? So, spiritual growth, if I had titled it spiritual growth, most people would have been bored with that title, but because you hear a lot about spiritual growth, nobody really knows what it means, but this way you understand, how do I grow a spirit? If you look at the first slide here, Proverbs 18, verse 14, Solomon says, a person's spirit can sustain him when he's ill, but a crushed spirit, who can bear it? Now, what's he saying? In fact, the Amplified Bible says, a person's strong spirit will sustain him when he's sick or when he's ill. So when your body is ill, what's your spirit doing? Trying to keep you going, right? Trying to keep you going. And your old body's failing or it's ill and your spirit is working. And so if you got a good, strong spirit, it will sustain you. But if you got a broken spirit, he said you can't tolerate it. It's just you give up. Broken body's one thing. Broken spirit, that's something else. What's a broken spirit? Well, there was a book out many years ago called by a man who was an expert at raising kids. His idea was, the book title was, Shaping the Will of a Child, Shaping the Will Without Breaking the Spirit. What did that mean? Well, you work on guiding a child's willpower into the right direction, but if you break the spirit, what happens? They just give up. I just give up on anything. So, we're talking about having strong spirits. How do you grow a spirit? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. We'll look at that one for a minute. 1 Corinthians. I don't know any other way to do this, help you with strengthening your spirit. I don't know any other way to do this except open the Word. Is that okay? If we just... And if you open it, you'll be able to look at it, right? Isn't that amazing? We live in a country where we are just awash in Bibles. Some places, under persecution right now, you're not allowed to have a Bible. If they find one, they'll put you in jail. Burn the Bible. We've got them everywhere. We take them for granted. The computer, the telephone. I think it's 70 different translations in my phone. Telephone. So, no excuse. Why we don't know the Bible. There is no excuse for us to say, well, I don't understand the Bible. I don't know. I just don't like to read it. No excuse. If you're interested in God, if you're interested in Jesus, if you're interested in finding out your spiritual destiny, you got to open that Bible and get into it and study it. How do you grow a strong spirit? That's one way. That's one basic way. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writing to the church there. If you know the first part of this letter, it's a letter to the church. Then he's talking to this church about their problem. What's their problem? They can't get along with each other. Can't get along with each other. They're dividing up. Some say, well, I follow Paul. No, wait a minute, I follow Peter. He was there with Jesus. Paul wasn't there with Jesus. And no, I follow Cephas or Peter. I follow Christ. Some people were saying, well, I just follow Jesus. Well, they were saying it in an arrogant way, I guess. And Paul said, you know, this is not right. And he comes to chapter 3, and you find out what a weak spirit looks like. Do you want to know what a weak spirit looks like? If you see some of these symptoms, you know you got a weak spirit. Any Christian that's in strife all the time with other people's got a weak spirit. Any Christian that gossips about other Christians all the time, they got a weak spirit. He says in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, brothers, now he means the women too, because, you know, people have struggled this today because of gender things going on. When he says brothers, he means all of them, because brothers are head of the families usually. Brothers. Would he write something to the men and not write it to the women too? Would all of 1 Corinthians be to the men and not to the women? Well, of course not. Just use your common sense. He says brothers, and some versions today put in italics and sisters, so you can do that if you want to. You're included. Brothers, I could not talk to you or address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. What does he mean by worldly and spiritual? What is spiritual? Of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. The realm of spirit. As opposed to the realm of the flesh, your body. I couldn't talk to you as spirit, having healthy spirits, because you're still stuck in the world. You're still flesh oriented. Everything about you is still this world. Everything about you is still about your stuff and about what's going on with you, and you're all self-centered. And he said, I'm trying to get across some things he says to you as spiritual values that you need, but you can't get it. So he said, you're mere infants in Christ. A question here, are they saved? Are they in Christ? Well, then they're saved. Do they have eternal life? Yes. So why should we be spiritual? Well, you don't want to be a baby all your life, do you? You see, some people have kids and sometimes they're disabled, and I know a couple of cases where the baby was disabled and the kid never really grew up. I mean, the baby still, the person still lays in the bed like a baby. Has to be fed, has to be changed. That's miserable. It's tragic. It's tragic for Christians to never grow up spiritually. Beside that, you're unhappy. Check yourself. Do you have major portions of your life where you are unhappy? Well, that's a sign of a weak spirit. I couldn't address you, he says, as spiritual people, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you weren't ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. What's he saying? The stuff I taught you was just kindergarten stuff. And nothing else made sense to you. There's a lot of Christians around. I have spoken in a few churches here and there, and you know, you got a lot of believers around. If you try to go a little deep into the Bible, they just don't. We had a house thing going on one time several years ago. A bunch of young adults would get together, and once in a while we'd open the Bible. We'd go, and with Sunday night after church, we'd go to their houses, we'd drink coffee, talk, and sometimes we'd open the Bible and study a little bit. And one lady quit coming. She got offended. She quit coming. She said, I didn't understand what they were talking about. She felt out of place. We weren't talking about the depths of, we hadn't plumbed the depths of the Bible. It was just a few things that she never had heard, didn't understand. Paul said, I couldn't give you anything but milk. I couldn't give you anything. What do you give a baby? You don't give a baby a steak, you give him milk. So he said, that's all I could do. You're still not ready. You weren't ready for solid food. You're still not ready. Verse 3, you are still worldly. Here's how you know you have a weak spirit. Now, if you want to have a strong spirit, you kind of have to know what a weak spirit looks like, so you can say, well, wait a minute, I better grow some. Verse 3, you are still worldly since there's jealousy. Jealous, what's jealousy? Oh, they got something and I didn't get it. Since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, fussing and strife and fighting, since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not like acting like mere mortals? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere mortals, mere men? And he goes on to discuss that with them. So what's he saying? Well, my team, you know, we've got denominations, I don't know how many, hundreds of them, hundreds of denominations. And everybody started their own, and we've got, there's that old joke about the Coast Guard or Navy found a guy on a desert island all by himself. He'd been there a long time, all by himself. And they started investigating how they could help him, get him off the island, take him on their ship, and they talking to him, and he had some huts built there. He built some places to shelter himself from the weather, from the elements, and built little fires and stuff and tried to live off the land, and he had these huts there. And they said, "Well, why'd you build more than one?" He said, "Well, I live in this one here. And that one was my church. That one there was my church." We said, "What's that other one?" "That's where I used to go to church." He couldn't get along with himself. Was he a weak spirit? He's fussing with himself. Do you ever argue with yourself? Do you win? Sometimes. And sometimes you lose, right? How do you know you got a weak spirit? Can I put it in simple terms? Can't get along with anybody. Can't be happy when somebody else gets something nice. You got to fret about, "I didn't have that. I couldn't have that. I wanted that one time. I didn't get it. How come they get it? I don't get it." Weak spirit. Do you want to be a weak spirit forever? I don't think so. Because a weak spirit, operating in a weak spirit, is misery. You're not happy. You're not at peace. You don't have love flowing out of you. You can't get along with anybody. A weak spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. I'll just read this one to you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. Paul writes to this church, and he says at the end of his letter, we read this one earlier, I think, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, right? "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless." Your whole what? Spirit, soul. Well, wait a minute, aren't they the same? No, they're not the same. Let me put it to you this way. Your spirit is the part of you that looks for God. Your soul is a part of you that is selfish. Everybody has a soul, but most people who are not, well, people who are not in Christ, their soul is alive because they're moving about the earth and they have ambitions and they have desires and they have conflict, and that's your soul, earthbound. But when you die, you're still you, but you don't have to worry about this earth anymore, do you? You don't have to worry about making a living or being famous or having a lot of money or any of that. So your soul and your spirit are not the same. So it's clear here, right? You have both. You have body, obviously, and you have a soul and a spirit. This is a key to understanding how to have a strong spirit and to not have a weak spirit. If you don't even know what your spirit is or where it is, you can't work with it. So the next slide gives you the answer. Hebrews chapter 4:12. Hebrews chapter 4:12. "For the word of God is active and alive." This is New International Version. Active and alive. The word, what's the word of God? Well, Jesus is the word, but this is too, right? There's a word. Okay. It just looks like a book to me. That's what the world thinks, right? Do you know better? Do you know this is not just a book? Do you know something's going on in this? Do you know it's not just ink on paper? Do you know there's something alive in here? You've seen it, I hope. You've seen this book, this word, change your life at certain points in your life. It has changed you. How did it do that? It didn't just give you some good ideas. It's active. It's alive. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. Now, we don't know much about swords these days. Some people do. But some of them are very sharp. But he said, there's no sword that can compare to this. This penetrates. It does what? It's alive. And it penetrates. It says, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. And he goes on to say, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It does what? Hebrews 4:12. So this word judges your thoughts. You read this. That's why some people don't read it. A lot of Christians don't read it much. And certainly the world has no use for it. Because it does what? Points out. It judges the attitude of your heart. Why does it do that? So you can make corrections. with God's help, so he can make corrections. Why do I need a strong spirit? Because I want to please God, but because I would like to live a happy, peaceful life. Strife. It's everywhere, isn't it? Oh, is our world eaten up with it right now? Is our political world? Politicians today, a lot of them think they're not going to get ahead unless they insult everybody. Got to insult their opponent and belittle them and tear them down. And that's the world. That's not here in the church. That's the world. That's not here in you. In you is the Holy Spirit. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates to what? It will divide this word. Let me get this across to you. This Bible will separate soul and spirit in you. You'll start realizing, the more you study the word, the more you realize what the spiritual life is all about. You realize spirit versus earth, spirit versus worldly, spirit versus soul or soulish, some people call it. You won't know it any other way, hardly. You have to have this word active in your life. It is alive. It is active. And it penetrates. And it penetrates to showing you what spirit is and what your soul is. In other words, showing you what the spiritual life is like and showing you what the selfish life is like. If you read it and study it and let it in, when do we change? I heard a person who had been through a lot of drug rehab. He was a drug counselor and had been through rehab himself several times. He said, people do not change until the pain of staying the same gets greater than the pain of changing. When the pain of staying where I am gets so bad that change doesn't look so painful after all. And they say, I got to make a change. I got to get out of this. I can't stand this emotional, spiritual pain anymore. The Word of God helps you divide between your selfish self and your spiritual self. That's what it's here for. One of the main reasons, it's alive and active. So, next slide, what are the benefits then? Why should I do this? What are the benefits of a strong spirit? Well, you're going to find some of the benefits in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And it begins in where he writes about, well, let me go to verse chapter 5. Part of it's on the screen, but I'll read some of this to you. Galatians 5, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit. How you get a strong spirit? You're walking with the Holy Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. Your selfish self needs to be corralled. That's what fasting does. That's what Bible study does. Your selfish self, if you're going to have a strong spirit, needs to be corralled and put in its place like an unruly child. Verse 17, for the sinful nature of the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The acts of the flesh, here's what the flesh looks like. Sexual immorality, that's doing whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. Impurity, debauchery means without any control or restraint. Idolatry, or worshiping something besides God. Witchcraft, hatred. Hatred is rampant in this country and sometimes in the church. Just hate people because they don't do it your way and you don't like them. They're not feeding your selfish self. Discord. What is that? Strife. Jealousy. Fits of rage. They don't come from God, do they? Fits of... Well, what about Jesus? He overturned the money changers' tables and Now, wasn't Jesus doing it? He said, I don't know anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. What he was operating on God's direct order, his Father's direct order to do that. He wasn't just angry. Selfish ambition. What? Ambition's okay if you're ambitious for the things of God. Selfish ambition's different. You're feeding your selfish self again. Dissension, faction, that's all strife. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So why should I have a strong spirit? Here it comes. Are you listening? The fruit of the Spirit. Would that also apply to a strong spirit fed by the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Well, it starts with love. Oh, love. Is love good or bad? Don't you like people? I like coming to church. Why do you like coming to church? I like coming to church because you get hugs. And I know you're sincere about it. You're not trying to butter me up for something, you know. We're not trying to butter you up when we hug you. You know, hugs will lower your blood pressure. Hugs give you a feeling of contentment. There's a lot of psychological and medical research into all that. Now, hugs are valuable. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit is operating and the Holy Spirit is in you operating, there's love. Now, is it more pleasant to live in love or to live in strife? Is it more pleasant to live in love or live in strife? It's more pleasant to live in love, isn't it? One benefit of a strong spirit is you just love people. You relax and you love people and they love you. You love God and He loves you. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Oh, hello. What? Why are so many Christians joyless? Because they're dealing with the things of this world and they're dealing with their selfish self, and I don't get what I want and they don't pay me respect. And I don't get this, and I don't have that, and I want this, and I want that, and oh, life is crummy, and tomorrow, and on top of all that, tomorrow's Monday morning. What is joy? Paul went through some tough hardships, and he wrote to the Philippian church, and several times in that letter he said, rejoice. What's rejoice? Give in to your joy. Just let your joy happen. So, I heard one guy say, if you're happy, inform your face. If you got joy, inform your face. Well, smile once in a while. Say, I'm enjoying my life, but you don't know my problems. No, but he does. And he said, you take my spirit on as your mentor, and you'll have joy in your life. Even when I suffer, yeah. Paul and Silas, I told you that one last week, right? Locked up in jail. They'd been beaten. Nobody had bothered to give them any medical attention. They'd been put in stocks. And there it is, midnight, and they just start singing in the middle of the prison, praising God. Joy. Joy, you know, happiness. Happiness depends on what happens. That's why we call it happiness. What happens makes me happy. If something's not happening for me, I'm not happy. But what's joy? A fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's different. I can attest to that. It's different. It's what God is doing in you. Joy. What's another fruit of the Spirit? Peace. Oh, goodness. You need some peace in your life. Inner peace. If the peace is on the inside, it's going to reflect on the outside. The reason a lot of Christians don't have peace on the outside, it's not on the inside. They haven't let it in. They're too worried about it. They're still operating out of the soulish, selfish soul. Peace. Patience. Patience. Need I say more? Do we have a lack of patience these days? Watch out cutting people off in traffic accidentally. Boy, they'll pull out a gun on you. Some people will. Patience. I'm glad God's patient with us. Patience. Is the Holy Spirit patient? Will He work with you year after year after year, and you got the same flaws and you got the same faults, and you don't pay attention and you don't work on it, and he's telling you things and you don't listen. Is he patient? With God, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. He can wait. He can wait a long time to get done what he needs to do in your life. But patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Kindness. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to kindness? I see it sometimes, but just good old-fashioned kindness. Just be nice to people. Out there in public, you know, and you're at the store. And so, you know, there was a lot on the TV recently and movies even about zombies. I think I found a few. Just go to some retail store and the employees are walking around. And they won't even look at you. If they look at you, you might say, where's the toothpaste? They won't even look at you. All these qualities come from the Spirit. They are Spirit qualities. The stronger your spirit is in the Holy Spirit in Christ, the stronger your spirit is, what? The more of these qualities you start having. You don't manufacture them. That's why it calls it the fruit of the Spirit. Does a pear tree manufacture pears? Not really. It's organic, right? It grows organically. So these things in you grow organically as you cooperate with God and with the Spirit. Patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. All that's why you should be working on having a strong spirit, because you will be so much happier. Can I get an amen? Anybody in here experience that? Has anybody experienced that? I have. You're just so much happier. And you don't sweat the small stuff, and you don't worry about everything. And you just figure, oh, I've read the back of the book and we win. Right? I've read Revelation. We're going to win. And we just enjoy life. People that don't believe in God and people that don't like Christianity, when you enjoy life, it makes them so mad. They just, what's the matter with you? You know, no, I just happen to be in God and Christ and I'm just happy. Spirit of God's working in me. What's wrong with you? I'm just happy. I have all this happiness that the Spirit gives me, right? Next slide. This is, again, the idea of, well, okay, if I want to walk by the Spirit, I want to have a strong spirit, what's the benefit? Here's another benefit. James 3:17. James, the Lord's brother, by the way, wrote a letter to the churches. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, doesn't play favorites, impartial, sincere. What's James saying? Well, the wisdom that comes from above, which you get when your spirit gets stronger, the wisdom that comes from above is wonderful. It's just wonderful. It's just like the fruit of the Spirit. So when your spirit gets stronger, you're happier, more productive, you are closer to God, because you get close to God with your spirit, not your soul. Your soul is the selfish part. And you need some of that. I mean, if you walk out here and you start to step out in the street and there's a car coming, you don't walk out in front of the car. Your soul, your earthbound life protects you. But your closeness to God comes from the Spirit. So the body, soul, and spirit thing, your spirit is separate from your soul. You have part in you. Well, I put it to you this way. I knew a man, well, the man that wrote the book, Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby, came and spoke one time at Cedar Crest Baptist, and one of the guys that rode him around in his car told me, he said, I took Dr. Blackaby to the hotel back and forth into the restaurants while he was here speaking, and I was headed back to the hotel with him after he spoke. And I said, well, brother, what would you like to do on the way back? He said, ever since I've been, he's an old man when he was here, ever since I've been about 12 years old, my great joy in life was to read the Bible. How unusual. So if you take me back to the hotel, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have some Bible time. I'm just going to sit and read. He could teach the Bible, but he said, I want to read it. Why was he wanting to read it? Fed his spirit. Fed his spirit. His body was getting fed in a nice hotel, air conditioning and all that. But he wanted his spirit to be fed because he had seen how happy it makes him. Next slide, the first step toward a strong spirit. Here's your first step if you're taking notes. The first step. First step toward a strong spirit is what? Humility. Where'd that come from? Humility? Humility is what? A teachable spirit. If you don't have a teachable spirit, you ain't going to learn anything, right? I didn't have a teachable spirit when I was in algebra. I didn't like it. I tried and it didn't work for me. You know, I was good at numbers, but when they started putting letters with it, it was like, what? X? I never saw X as a number, you know, so that was my fault, right? I wasn't very teachable, so they couldn't teach me anything. And a teachable spirit that has an obedient attitude. There is a passage here, Matthew 11, that you're going to need to meditate on if you want a strong spirit. Matthew 11. And in Matthew 11, Jesus is speaking. In Matthew 11, and it's verse 29. 28, I'll start with 28, but the one on the screen is 29. Jesus said this. It's in red in my Bible. It's Jesus, right? Come to me, verse 28. All you who are weary and burdened. Some point in your life, maybe this morning, you get weary and you get burdened. It's a little different. I think weary is just life wears you down, and then burdened is some problem comes up. I don't want to deal with this. What are you supposed to do, according to Jesus? Come to Him. Now, that's not just come down the aisle, get baptized, and be saved. That's a life process. If you want to have a strong spirit, it's a life process. Come to me if you're weary and you're burdened, and I will show you where your problem is. Is that what He says? I'll what? Give you, what is it? Rest. That's not just physical. I'll give your spirit some rest. Your overworked spirit that's not very strong and it's weak and it's getting bashed and kicked around, come to me. If you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A yoke is a work instrument, right? So I work for the kingdom of God. You do too, actually. I work for the kingdom of God. My yoke is the kingdom of God. My yoke is not trying to make money or be famous or whatever. And yours is too, right? Your real work is the kingdom of God. Take my yoke, he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle. The NIV says gentle. Some say meek. Meek is not a good word in a way because people think, oh, that's weak. This says, I am gentle and humble. Is Jesus humble? Humble in heart. You know, the Bible says back in the Exodus time that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Humility. I never thought of Moses as weak. Parted the Red Sea. Well, God did it through him, but put up with that bunch all the way through 40 years in the wilderness. Heard from God directly. His face would glow. But it says the most humble man. What is humility? I'll give you a quick definition. Humility is the opposite of pride. You got too much pride, you don't have any humility. Why was Moses humble? He did what God told him to do. Was unwavering. Gave his life to leading Israel. He could have lived in Pharaoh's palace, a privileged kid, adopted but still privileged. He didn't do that. He was a humble man. Is Jesus humble? That's what he said. Humble? You see, people that are humble have more power than people who aren't. Because if you're not humble, you think you do it all yourself. You're full of pride. Like Muhammad Ali, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. Or like some politicians we know, I'm the greatest. You won't get very far with God that way. Because he knows you're human and you're flesh and you're going to fail at some point. Humility says, Jesus even said, apart from you, apart from my Father, I can do nothing. Jesus said he couldn't do anything. Jesus said that. Son of God said, I can't do anything without my Father. And so what do you think about us? Much more are we helpless without the Father, without God working in you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn what? How to have a strong spirit. How to have a strong spirit. Learn from me. For I am gentle, humble in heart. He's not going to browbeat you for the mistakes you've made. He paid for that already. I'm gentle, humble in heart, and you'll find rest. For what? For your souls. You'll find rest for your inner being. My yoke is very difficult. It's hard to serve God. Is that what he said? My yoke is what?
Easy.
Easy. And my burden is what?
Light.
Why? Because he's carrying the most of it. He gives you a little bit to carry, but he's carrying the most of it. You have a strong spirit when that happens. The next slide, I put this up here. This is the same verse, but it's easy to read. You like the easy to read, don't you? Here's what it says in the easy to read version. This is, instead of take my yoke, it says, accept my teaching, learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll be able to get some rest. There's an ad on for bankruptcy. And I saw that guy one time. I thought, that's a pretty good ad. You know what he says? I know. You don't want to go to a bankruptcy lawyer. Why don't you come to me and we'll file it for you and you go get some rest? I thought, that's a pretty good ad, because I know people that are about to go through bankruptcy and they have a bad problem with their bills. They're tortured. And he says, you just let us handle that and you get some rest. Didn't Jesus say that? You'll be able to get some rest. Accept my teaching. Do what he just said here. And you will get some rest. I think I have. Yeah, I have one other slide. And this slide is, we're going to pray over the notebook here. Do you see now why it's helpful for us to have a strong spirit? Yeah. It's not a hardship. It's not a hardship on you to have a strong spirit. It is what you are made for, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Humility. We'll probably talk more about that one, about humility. We want to pray over the notebook. This book is full of names of people who don't know the Lord yet. We pray for them to accept His yoke and come to Him and find. Do people out there need some rest? Oh, they do. They do. Father, we are so grateful for your teaching today. We ask you that all the names in this notebook would come to your attention. We prayed a lot about them, and we've seen answers. I know we have. We've seen answers. And I pray that you continue to answer for all these names. Draw them to us. Draw them to us here, that we can teach them. If it's someone that would be able to come to us, maybe they're too far away, but there's some around us, that we ask you to draw them to us. We pray these things, Father, so that they'll get light in their spirit. Their spirits will start waking up, born again, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, Father. We ask you to answer our prayers. We have this scripture here that says we put our hope in the living God, who is Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. You want all to be saved, but only those who believe will be saved. So we pray for these individuals in the book to come to you, and seek you and bring their burdens to you in Christ's name. Amen.